Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. What a good God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my family to come quickly, and we're going to take you to Honduras for just a few moments. And this is what it would sound like in one of our worship services during the courses and the worship time. Amen. And we're just going to sing unto the Lord. And if you know Spanish and want to pitch in, well, just join us. If not, you can just hum. If you can't hum on tune, just raise your hands. Do whatever you feel to do. But we're going to worship the Lord together tonight. Amen. Yeah, he likes to get out of singing by getting in the drum cage. You better be singing in there anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's sing. I was glad when they said unto me, that's in C. Aleluya. ¿Están listos para alabar al Señor esta noche?
Amen.
I said, are you ready to worship the Lord tonight?
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. Me alegré
con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. A la casa de Jehová iré. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. A la casa de Jehová iré.
Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. You can sing that one.
Well, I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me.
Were you glad tonight?
I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Let us go into the house of the Lord.
Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Victory today is mine. I won't take the enemy behind. Victory today is mine.
Oh, victoria
es mía, la victoria es mía, la victoria. Hoy es mía. Le dije a Satanás, vete para atrás. La victoria hoy es mía.
La victoria
es mía, la victoria es mía, la victoria hoy es mía. Le dije a Satanás, vete para atrás. La victoria hoy es mía.
Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Me alegré con aquellos que decía. Oh, Dios no está muerto,
Él está vivo. Dios no está muerto, Él está vivo.
Dios no está muerto,
Él está vivo.
Lo siento en mis manos,
lo siento en mis pies, lo siento en todo mi ser.
Oh, God's not dead, He's alive. God's not dead, He's alive. And God's not dead, He's alive. I feel Him in my head, I feel Him in my feet, I feel Him over me. And God's not dead, He's alive. Oh, Dios no está muerto,
Él está vivo.
Dios no está muerto,
Él está vivo.
Dios no está muerto,
Él está vivo.
Lo siento en mis manos,
lo siento en mis pies,
lo siento en todo mi ser. Aleluya. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Aleluya, aleluya, aleluya. Oh, yes. Aleluya, aleluya.
all you people and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It feels like home in here tonight. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. You can return to your seats. Amen. I want my wife to greet you. Amen. Then they can be seated.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. It is so good to be here with you guys tonight. And I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm so thankful to be with the Cowans. Really, it's been too long, really too long. But I'm just thankful that wherever we go, doesn't matter our circumstances, doesn't matter our location, but God is always with us. We can trust Him. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We can trust that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. I don't know how people live without the Lord, but I am so thankful that I have found Him, and I want to do my best to share Him with others because there are so many people that need Him. Yes. But I just want to come into this place and always give my best in praise and worship and always remember that when I'm outside of these walls, that I need to be a witness because He has given me power to be a witness. God bless you. It's good to be here.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm certainly glad to have them with me. Sometimes I travel alone, but this time I get to have the whole kit and caboodle. Thank the Lord. And my involvement in Honduras began at an early age. I mentioned that I was raised on the mission field. I arrived in Honduras when I was but 4 years old and have spent almost 40 years of my 51 overseas, living in Honduras and working in Honduras. So I'm a lot more Honduran than I am American. Amen. And tonight will be my second time to preach in English in quite some time. And I've been in some English services in Glendale, Arizona this last week, but preaching is a different story. Sometimes the word just doesn't come. The Spanish word is there, but the English word doesn't come. But finally it drags along and but anyway, if you see me hanging up, just throw out words and maybe you can help me guess the right one. Amen. But living in Honduras is natural to me. It's home for me. And I think it's become that way for my family. We have three that were born in the U.S. and three that were born in Honduras. So we have three dual citizens for life. Amen. And that's a good thing. Don't have to pay to get them in the country and keep them there legally. They get to live for free. But I remember when my burden, my call, came to me to return to Honduras as a missionary personally. And I was about 15, and we received a call from a Jesus name, one God apostolic doctor from the U.S. who was coming to Honduras on a Christian medical brigade. And he called Dad, and he said, "Would you have a son old enough to serve as my interpreter?" And really, to my amazement, Mom and Dad gave me permission, and they drove us up to a city called La Ceiba. We'd never been there, and La Ceiba is where we live today and where we have our mother church, headquarter church, but we had never been to La Ceiba, and I fell in love with the city then and thought if I ever was a missionary, I would want to start a church here. I would want to live in this city. But from La Ceiba, I met up with the doctor, and the Honduran Air Force took us by helicopter into the eastern part of our country, which is jungle. It's called La Mosquitia. And being no roads, no access, they took us by helicopter, and we were 10 days in the jungle. And the Lord placed me and the doctor, they put us up in the home of a pastor of the Moravian Mission. Moravian Mission is a breakoff of the Catholic. They just don't have the idols. They sing more charismatic courses, Christian courses, and have church more kind of like we do in a sense. Nothing, they don't have truth, don't get me wrong. But anyway, they're not like the Catholic atmosphere. And so we would set up every night with this pastor, and I had brought a satchel full of those fine print tracks, Jesus' name, baptism, oneness of God, et cetera, et cetera. And I just knew that the Lord had placed us there to convert us a preacher. And so every night I'd sit up with him and we'd argue about scriptures and I'd try to convince him. And I guess I didn't do a very good job. He finally said, look, he said, you believe it your way and I'll believe it my way, but let's be friends. And I said, okay. I mean, we're better than being enemies. And he said, but I would like you to preach on in my church on Sunday. Do you think you could do that? And I was preaching at that time, preaching in the Central Parks or on the buses. I knew a little bit how to talk. So I got up on Sunday and I started with John chapter 3 and talking about being born again of water and of spirit and gave him the whole enchilada. Amen. I mean, I went down the line and I'm teaching them, and when I get to the end, I'm thinking it's altar call time, and so I started telling them about this gift that they could have, and just talking to them, and they're listening, and I finally said, well, if you would like this gift, why don't you stand and come to the front? And every one of them stood up and walked to the front, and they stood around the podium here looking at me like, well, where's my gift? You said he's going to get a gift. And I realized, well, maybe I didn't connect the dots good enough. And I said, no, you got to repent. This is a spiritual gift. And so they started to pray and repent. And I just waited out amongst them, kind of like I seen Daddy do, and laying hands on them and praying for them. And in the altar, there was a lady on one side and a gentleman on the other side. And as they're praying, she was speaking with other tongues. And he was speaking in other tongues. And I thought, you know, I've got to get to these people after service and ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And if they say yes, then how were you baptized? And so service was dismissed, and I got to looking for them, and they had slipped out on me. That was on a Sunday, and we were to fly back to La Ceiba on Tuesday. And I said, God, we only have one more day. I've got to find them. Help me find them. And I remember praying that Sunday night. And the next Monday morning, we were having our clinic in an old schoolhouse, two-room schoolhouse. And they had little cubicles curtained off with bed sheets. And there was four doctors attending all the patients, a long line outside. And so they opened the floodgates, as we would say, and they started ushering people in. And the very first person into our cubicle that morning was that lady. And I said, okay, God. And we dealt with her less important needs or physical needs. And I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And she said, yes. And she told me it was in La Ceiba, speaking with other tongues. Yes. And told me when it was. And I said, how then were you baptized? And you can always tell somebody that's been baptized in Jesus' name, because they'll tell you when, who done it, why they did it in Jesus' name. It's for the remission of sins, et cetera, et cetera. But she looked at me kind of vaguely. She said, well, in water. And I said, okay. I said, we need to talk. And it turned out that the gentleman on the other side of the altar, that was her husband. And so that night, Monday evening, we showed up at their place about 7 o'clock and sat down at the little table. And they had a little can with kerosene in it and a wick coming out the top. And that was our light. And so we got as close as we dared and reading the fine print, talking about Jesus' name baptism. And a little while later, about an hour later, he closed his Bible and he said, brother, he said, thank you for bringing me the truth. When can I be baptized in Jesus' name? And I knew that Dad did not own a helicopter, and to get him out here was going to be nigh unto impossible. And I'd seen Daddy do it a few times and knew what to say. And I said, well, we'll baptize you tonight. And so we went out to Rio Seco and waited out. And I was praying that all the crocodiles were asleep and asking the Lord to put his sanction upon what we were about to do. But I remember vividly that night as I was standing in the river and praying, I felt like the Lord challenged me and called me. And I said, yes, I would. I would love to work as a missionary someday. And so I lived with that from that day till today. And there were cities that we did clinics in that year and the year following that did not have One God Apostolic churches. And from that age, I began to pray, God, give us a church in these cities one of these days. And I can report to you that two of those cities have One God, Jesus' name, churches that we helped start. Amen. And they're preaching truth today. And that was just a call or a dream or whatever come true, prayer answered after many, many years. But the Lord took us as a family in 2002 back to Honduras. And I remember the day we drove into La Ceiba. This was in November of 2004. And we drove into La Ceiba, and we had a big Suburban that we drove all the way down from the U.S., and I had built a big old wooden box on the top. It looked like a big double coffin up top, and I had all my tools and all our stuff that we could stick in there. And anyway, we drove into town, and this big old lump come up in my throat, and I knew this is what I had prayed for. This is what I knew God wanted me to do for years since I was 15 years old, and the day finally came. And so we looked for a house. It was had a big living room in it. It wasn't a mansion. It had cockroaches in the bathrooms, and when it rained, we would set out five-gallon buckets because the roof leaked pretty bad, and La Ceiba, it rains a lot. And so, but anyway, it had a big living room, and it had a big carport. And so we started meeting people in La Ceiba and teaching Bible studies, and we ended up baptizing our first convert in the ocean because it's right on the ocean. And that was New Year's Day, 2004, amen. And anyway, we baptized Christian was his name, and things started happening. We finally had our first service, and things began to just kind of slowly take off. And I remember the day when our first one received the Holy Ghost in our living room. Amen. That's an exciting day. Amen. The church grew, and we had Sunday school going on. I had a little Nissan pickup at that point, and camper shell on it, short bed, and single cab. And I think we had 27 was our record of kids coming to Sunday school back in that camper. Amen. And we would make two or three trips, and we had 70, 75 kids coming, and we were growing. The living room was full of people. The neighbors started complaining because we have church the apostolic way, and praying and worshiping, and we had a speaker and one in the keyboard with one microphone, and we'd turn it up as loud as we'd dare, and we just had church. And so I told the people, the neighbors are complaining, let's look about and see what we can find a place to have church. And we've discovered an empty Baptist facility. They had built a new place across town, and it was just sitting empty. Long story short, a couple years later, the Lord provided for it. We were able to buy that facility, and that became and is today our mother church. Amen. And so from there, the Lord began to open doors. I mentioned two cities already, but there were others that began to open up. And I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. When you win a soul, you just never know the eternal impact that it will have. Amen. You know, Andrew didn't do much preaching in the scriptures, but he did win a soul. Amen. And you probably heard of his brother's name was Peter. Peter did a great work for God. Amen. But all because Andrew got busy. He went and found, he went and told, and then he brought him to Jesus. That's the way it still works. Amen. You find people, you tell them, we got the truth, this is it. Let me bring you. Amen. Let the Lord touch your life and change you. Amen. So Andrew saved, he witnessed to Peter, and Peter came in. But my kids, at one point, we were living in a place, and across the street, there was this doctor that lived there, and she had a little maid. Her name was Teresa, about the age of my older daughters, and so Teresa, they befriended her, and they started talking, and then they'd play a little soccer game in the street in front of the house, and just then they started inviting her to church and talking to her about church. And Teresa was one of those people that says, well, you know, I may come, but I'm never going to dress that way. You know, nobody said anything about how you have to dress, just come. And long story short, she received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. And we were all excited. Well, she had come to La Ceiba to study. And so she was working, paying for her schooling and studying and working at the same time. And just a couple months after being filled with the Holy Ghost, she announces that she's graduating. And that meant she was going to be moving back home. I said, back home? Where's home? And she said, well, San Miguelito in Tibucá. I said, that was like an 8-hour drive from our place. It ain't like we're going to go up there, you know, once a week and try to. That's a long. And I went to the Lord in prayer, kind of like, Lord, this ain't right. The perfect convert. She started dressing. It was just something. The Lord, it was the Holy Ghost. And now you're telling me she's leaving? God, you know, and he kind of stopped me. He said, wait a minute, she's got family too. They need to hear the gospel. Well, that kind of rang a bell in my head and woke me up, and I realized, you know what, here's an opportunity. And so she went back, took this new converts course that we have with her, and she said, I'm going to teach this to my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters. And she started teaching it to her mom and dad, and they saw the truth, and her brothers and sisters, they started seeing the truth. Well, we heard that one of her sisters, Wanda, was getting married. And so we decided to go up and be at the wedding. And it was held in a Catholic church in the city of La Esperanza, way up in the mountains. And we got there and we all walked in. Here we marched in and all our little ducklings behind us, you know. And what are these gringos doing here? And they're looking at us kind of. And we were just there for the wedding. Carry on. But anyway, they finally started the ceremony and they got married. Well, the reception was at their place in San Miguelito. That's about a 30-minute drive down the mountain toward their place. So when we arrived, they had this tarp spread out and table set up underneath it, and probably about 80 people were there eating and just having a good time, and it started raining outside. So everybody crowded underneath the tarp to keep dry, and we're finishing eating, and Teresa comes up to me and she says, Pastor, she says, I've already cleared it with both sets of parents because that was their house, and they want you, could you preach? And I said, well, we could probably do that. Amen. So here's Wanda, her sister, and her groom is Walter, and they're sitting at their table. And so we began again at John chapter 3, and I started again with the whole enchilada and gave them everything. And I was teaching along there, and I said, you know, there's not one example in the Bible where somebody was baptized saying in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, if you can find me one example, and I took my van key out. The van was parked right down the hill. I said, I'll give you that van that's parked right down the hill. Well, there was an older fellow that stood up, had that smug grin on his face like I just won me a van. And he says, well, he says, we know that in Matthew 28:19, it says, you know, that you are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I said, that is absolutely what it says. I said, have you obeyed what Jesus commanded there? Well, yeah, really? I said, did Jesus command you to be baptized into the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost or into the name? And he just sat back down. Amen. I kept teaching. Well, we came on home, and about 4 or 5 days later, I called the new groom, Walter. I said, Walter, I just want to say hello and see what you thought about what was taught at your reception. And he says, Pastor, he said, it's truth. I was like, wow, this is another easy one. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, because when we saw our ex-pastor could not defend with Scripture what he has taught us all these years, he said, I told my wife, we're going to go to the Pentecostal church. Only that it was the Trinity Pentecostal church they had gone to. I said, well, Walter, wait a minute. I said, we're going to come back up, and we got some more studying to do. Well, come on. You'll be welcome at any time. And so, long story short, Walter got the Holy Ghost. Wanda got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And now they're in their house, and we're 8-hour drive away. And he's like, what are we going to do? I said, Walter, get that new converts course out, and you eat it. Study it. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. And then get your family. And you teach it to them. He did. Amen. There's folks there filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. He's pastoring the church in San Miguelito. All because somebody got interested in winning a soul. Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You never know the eternal impact that you're going to have on somebody's life. If you'll say, whatever I can do, Lord, I'm willing. Amen. Amen. So Brother Walter's pastoring, and we're halfway in a building program there. God help us. Amen. But they're doing good. Amen. And then we was pastoring along there in La Ceiba, and God started putting a burden on my heart for that city where they were married in, at that Catholic church, La Esperanza. And it's kind of like the county seat. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm pastoring. But I had a good assistant pastor, and the Lord kept nudging me. And finally, we said, okay, Brother Biden, you're going to stay here and take care of the church for a month. We're going to the mountains. And so we did. We went up to the mountains. We rented a little place up there. And started meeting people, and God led me to a little store. I was buying some drinking water in 5-gallon buckets, and we were trying to dig a well, so I was kind of muddy and stinky maybe, and I was there getting some drinking water that day, and the young lady that opened the little cage that has the bottles in it, she says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you a pastor?" I didn't look like one, maybe. I said, "I am a pastor. Where's your church?" And I said, "Well, we don't have one yet, but that's what we're up here for." Her name is Elsie. Elsie, I don't know how many family members, but she has aunts and cousins. And anyway, it was like 18 to 20 people that she was directly linked to. And so she started inviting them. And by the time the month was up, we had about 20, 25 people coming and having, you know, midweeks and a weekend service with them. But we knew we couldn't stay. But I knew the Lord placed that on my heart. Another church was going to be born. And so one of our ministers in another congregation, he was kind of assisting. He came up and felt it. And lo and behold, they're there pastoring now. And we were there just a couple weeks ago. And they were, it was so full that folks were standing. They couldn't all of them sit down. But it was revivals happening there. Amen. And they've got several young couples that I've got my eye on. Amen. And I know that God's going to raise them up one day. And they're going to be sent out to another place, another city, and start another work. Amen. That's the way it works. Amen. So we're excited about that. And then early part of this year, I'm just kind of telling you how things have come and gone in our lives there in Honduras. But just a few months ago, first part of this year, my younger brother, Mark, is also a missionary. He was a missionary in Honduras for several years and had some small works there. And he called and said that God had placed upon his heart that he was going to have a change of direction and that he was leaving Honduras. And so he said, "If you'll just take the churches that we have and join them with yours and keep going," he said, "that I feel like that's in the will of God." So that's what occurred. And those churches that came over from us, there's four congregations. It's over in Guatemala, and our next door neighbor. And then there was three or four that's in our country there in Honduras. And they've joined together. And we had camp meeting back, I think it was February of this year. And there was such a touch of God there. And when they left camp meeting, they went home saying, "We want this in our churches." Amen. And they've been having a move of God. And God's been moving in a great way, and they're different congregations. And we went to one of them in Siguatepeque a couple weekends ago also, and the place where we were having church wasn't humongous, but it was full on the inside, and they had chairs setting up on the sidewalk outside the front door of the church. Amen. And so that tells me there's growth. Amen. And I'm praying and believing God that one of these days soon they're going to be calling and saying, "We had one receive the Holy Ghost." Amen. I always feel like that a church is healthy if they can have folks get the Holy Ghost even when the missionary's not there. Amen. Some folks live with that mindset like they're Philip, you know, and they go down to Samaria and they preach and teach Jesus' name, but nobody can get the Holy Ghost until a missionary shows up. Well, we don't believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm longing for that day whenever they call and say, "You know what, we had 2, 3 get the Holy Ghost today." Amen. And it's right there. It's fixing to happen. Amen. And I want you to just help pray. Amen. Pray that God would pour out the Holy Ghost in every one of those congregations. Amen. I don't have to be there. I want the Holy Ghost to fall and them have revival on their own. Amen. So we're excited. Amen. The works in Guatemala. There's 3 small works and 1 that's pretty strong, and there's 4 preaching points that I know of right now, and they're traveling out preaching at these places, and God's bringing people together. Amen. They've had some that's been baptized in Jesus' name, and a few that's received the Holy Ghost, but we're praying and believing that God's going to just let that part grow as well. Amen. It's one work. It's one same God. It's His body. Amen. And we're just going to stretch and travel and do what we've got to do, amen, to see the work of the Lord go forward. Amen. My assistant pastor, Brother Biden, after 8 years, I even let him go up to the mountains and feel after that one, and he just didn't feel it. So I brought him back home, and that other brother went, and he's doing a great job. Well, time went. We had a little group of people way out in the jungle area. Remember where I went and baptized that man? That was in a place called Sico. Well, there was a group out in a little town called Ivans, not too far from Sico. And they didn't have a pastor. They broke off from a Trinitarian work, and they had a relative in the States that was in one of Brother Godair's churches in North Carolina, Kenny Godair's church, Spanish work. Anyway, and he had been witnessing to him over the phone for a year or two, and he we met him in the States. He said, "I've got family in Evans. Would you please go and talk to him and see what?" And so we did. We went out. I took Brother Biden with me, and when we got out there, I could just see it in his eye. He's like, "This is the place. This is it." I said, "Okay, if you feel it." He said, "I feel it." And so Brother Biden took his family and moved them out to Evans. Evans, from our place in La Ceiba, is about a 7-hour drive. You get to the end of the road, and you get in what they call a pipante. It's a long boat, 5 foot wide, about 40 foot long, and it's got a 15-horse Yamaha motor on the back. And you putt-putt for an hour and 15 minutes, and you get to Evans. And Evans is on an island, a long sliver of land, and it's probably about maybe 6 or 7 miles long. And sometimes you can see the ocean on one side and look over here and you can see the lagoon on the other side. So it's a thin strip of land, but there's people there, a lot of people, and probably thousands of people. And so we went there, and there's a little wooden structure that they had for a church, and then we went and built a parsonage for them. There's no such things as hotels out there, restaurants. We built him a little parsonage, thank God, and he started working. Well, the first few weeks and months that he was out there, he'd call me just about every day. "Pastor, I don't know. I'm dealing with this, and I'm struggling with this, and you got to understand, out there there's a lot of voodoo and witchcraft and drug abuse, alcoholism, and sexual immorality. It's just a lawless place, and he's trying to build a church." And so he'd call me, and I just encourage him, "Brother Biden, do what you know is right. You just keep on plugging at it. God's going to give you a breakthrough." Amen. And one day he called. Saturday morning he called, and it wasn't the usual, "I'm fighting this, I'm struggling with this." He said, "Pastor, I'm calling because I had a dream last night." He said, "I'm not much on dreams." He said, "But I feel like this one was of the Lord." I said, "Well, tell it to me." He said, "In my dream," he said, "I saw myself walking down this pathway, and there was tall grass on both sides of the pathway, and there came a bend in the pathway." He said, "Right there in the bend, I came upon a big snake that was coiled, and as I saw it, it struck at me." He said, "And I jumped back, and it recoiled, and it struck twice, and I jumped again, and he didn't get me either time." He said, "But that third time that it coiled up and gathered itself to strike," he said, "in my dream, I knew I was not going to be able to escape it." He said, "But at that very moment, coming from the other side of the snake down the path was an old man." He said, "I knew he was old because he had solid white hair." He said, "In one moment, that old man took his machete and he cut the head off of the snake. He then turned to me and he said, 'What you cannot handle, I can. Just call me.'" He said, "I woke up, Pastor, knowing that if I just call on him, everything's going to be all right." Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, God has blessed them. God has blessed them. They've had 3 men, and there's a couple young men that have received the Holy Ghost and have been baptized. One of them, get this, was raised in Seco. I've been praying. I've been telling Brother Biden, one of these days we got to go visit Seco. One of these days I'm going to get back to Seco. And here Brother Avin was raised in Seco. He's married, got kids, and he's feeling a call. And he says, "If I go anywhere," he says, "I want to go to Seco." You know, I'm going to live to see that day, should the Lord tarry, when we're going to have our first service in a brand new church in the city or the town of Seco. Amen. You know, God puts a burden on a man's heart, and it may start at a young age. It may start years back, but if you'll just be faithful and just keep on doing what you know is right, it's going to come a time when God's going to allow it to come to fruition. And these are beautiful moments for myself personally. Amen. Knowing what I've prayed for, knowing what I've dreamed of, knowing what I believe God's going to do, and to watch it begin to unfold before my eyes, it's a faith builder. You hear me? It's a faith builder. Hallelujah. And I don't know what you might be facing right here in Augusta, but I'm going to tell you,
if you'll just be faithful. I know that there's a man that came with a vision many years ago. Amen. And now you've got a man of God that steps in the pulpit. He's got strength. He's got a fresh vision. He's got passion. Amen. If you'll get behind the man of God and get behind the vision of the man of God and just do what you know is right, in due time, you're going to see it come to fruition. Hallelujah. You're going to see great things that you only prayed about and you only thought about. But God is going to bring it to pass. You know why? Because He's faithful. He is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's not going to forsake you, not even unto the ends of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Let's love Him. The work belongs to Him. And the glory goes to Him. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be God doing it and not ourselves. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 We just got to be busy about the Master's business. We just got to be busy. Amen. We got to be obedient to the heavenly calling. We got to move when He says move. We got to speak when He says speak. We got to give when He says give. We got to do when He says do. Hallelujah. 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 I want to be busy. I want to be busy. I want to be busy. Amen. The scripture says that the world is our field. The field is the world, Jesus said. Amen. Each one of us have a little portion of the field that we got to be working in. Amen. We better be sure we're doing the right thing in our field. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be busy about His business. The scripture tells about a time when Joseph was sent by Jacob, go find your brothers in Shechem and tell me how they're doing. And so when he went out to find his brothers, he got to Shechem and they weren't anywhere to be seen and found. And the scripture says that he's wandering about in the field, maybe looking for them, wondering what to do. He was wandering in the field. And a certain man found him. Said, what you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. He directed him, gave him direction, and he found his brothers. I don't want to be wandering in my field. I want to be busy. I want purpose. I want direction. And if you don't have direction, there's a certain man that God puts in this pulpit every service. Amen. The pastor, the man of God. If you don't have direction and you don't know what to do, you need to get close to the man of God and say, is there something I can do? Is there? Give me direction. I want to do something for God. You know what? There's other people that's like Joseph. He had a dream. Oh, and he said in this dream, Dad, brothers, listen to me. In this dream, I was gathering up sheaves in the field. Except my sheep stood upright and your sheaves bowed, gave obeisance. There's some folks that are dreamers. Oh, the souls are going to win. Ooh, I'm going to be the best soul winner in the church. Everybody else going to have to bow and recognize I got the hand of God on my life. I'm dreaming. I'm going to be, the Bible studies I'm going to teach and the doors I'm going to knock. The only problem is they wake up and it was only a dream. I don't want to be dreaming about gathering a harvest in my field. I want to be gathering a harvest in the field, wide awake. I want to do it. I want to do something for the Lord. Don't be dreaming. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some brothers that's striving in their field. Cain told Abel, come on, follow me. Took him out into the field, and that's where he killed him. Jealousy. The elder son came in from out of the field. Prodigal returned home. What's all this commotion? Be careful what you bring from the field. Jealousy. Don't be jealous when somebody that's run out on God and sinned out in the world and God has had mercy on them and they came back from a pigsty and back into the Father's arms. Don't you say, well, you know what? I never failed God like that. My Lord, that stinking, dirty sinner, and everybody acts like they're so happy to see him. I've been in church all these years. Ain't nobody ever. Ooh, why are they blessing that rebellious boy? Why is God blessing those folk? Man, I've been faithful. I've been blessed that way. Yeah. Be careful. Don't be caught up with that spirit. Amen. Instead of being a helper to your brother, you want to kill your brother. Amen. No, we need each other. We got to pray for one another. We got to strengthen one another. We got to help one another. Don't be fighting. Help each other in the field. Hallelujah. Jesus said, hey, don't sit around saying there's yet 4 months and then there's harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and look where?
Yeah, look on the field.
Look on the field. It's white, ready for harvest. It's time to lift up our eyes, folks. It's harvest time. It's time to put the sickle in. Amen. It's time to gather a harvest up. Don't dream about it. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Just do it. Amen. Don't come to the pastor and say, you know what? This is a great idea. No. Say, pastor, if you'll allow me, I want to try to fill up a van or my car with people. I'm going to try to do that. If you can help me, pastor, pray that I can find the right people and pray. You know what? A revival comes with a key person. Amen. I've always seen this happen. There is a key person. There may be more than one, but one at a time maybe. But right here in Augusta, there is somebody waiting to be found that's going to be the key that will open the door to many other folks. Amen. I remember I was pastoring in Yuma, Arizona way back when, and I had me an all-night prayer meeting one time. I got so frustrated, nothing was happening, and I told my wife, I'm going to the church and I ain't coming back till I get the victory. I came back the next morning with the victory. That next Sunday, in comes this greasy blue jean bearded, taking his scarf up the top of his head, and we heard him when he pulled up outside and turned his Harley off. And he walked in with a Bible under his arm and sat back by the third pew. And I thought, what in the world have we here? We started singing Amazing Grace, and big old tears started rolling down his beard. I thought, oh, okay, we got something here. Amen. I remember I preached about what kind of soil do you have in your heart? The parable of the sower. And he ran to the altar, and we had wooden altars at that point. He shook the altar. Oh, God, help me. I want to live. It was beautiful. I thought, well, thank you, Jesus. And that next day was Labor Day, and he came over to the house, and he sat in our living room in the parsonage, and he said, pastor, he said, what do I need to do to get right? I said, well, are you married? He said, no, I'm living with my seventh woman. I said, well, that's a good place to start. He's an old fella at that point. He went home and said to the lady, you can have the house. And he slept in his work truck until he got his next paycheck and he got his own place. He was a key. He began to invite people. I lie not. One time he had five of his exes on the same pew in a service together. Only one time did I see that ever happen. Amen. But one of his exes got the Holy Ghost. Was baptized in Jesus' name. Was in the church there when we left. I'm going to tell you, keys. We had that happen in La Ceiba too. Different people come in and they just seem to have the knack. You know, they had the gift. They were connectors. Y'all want to find one of those keys around here? Lift up your eyes. The harvest is ready. Amen. Wherever you're at, on your job, wherever you go, grocery store, gas station, amen. Connect with people. Look and see. You're going to find somebody. And God's going to give you a harvest. If you'll do what you know is right, God will be faithful and he'll do what you cannot do. It's revival time. It's time to be working in our field. Hallelujah. I don't want to be asleep in my field. The scripture says that a man planted wheat in his field and while he slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. I don't want to be asleep in my field. Anybody asleep? Uh-oh. Don't say amen. You awake in your field? Yeah, I'm awake because I want to see God do something in my life. I'm not happy when nothing's happening. And if it ain't happening, what should we do? Well, buckle down, pray and fast, and evangelize. Get out there. That's the key to revival. You know that. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But you know what? That's simply the way it's happened down in Honduras. And if it works there, it'll work here. Amen. Brother, it's time for revival. It's time for harvest. You're having harvest. But you know what? God wants to give you a full sanctuary. Amen. Brand new people. Tattooed people. Folks with big old bushy beards. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't sow the seed by what you see or by what you feel. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11 tells about that. You know, don't regard the winds, because if you do, you're not going to sow. Observe the clouds. No, they're rolling in. It's going to come a gully wash. I better not go sow today. Get out there and sow your seed in the morning. In the evening, withhold not thine hand, because you don't know how it's going to turn out, whether good or bad. You just let the seed and let God do the work. But sow. Evangelize. Get out there and invite people to the house of God. Don't be ashamed. You've got the message. You've got what it takes to change their lives. Oh, hallelujah. What are you doing in your field? Could we stand together, all of us, and let's lift our hands and say, Lord, if I can be used, I want you to use me. I'm not going to sit around waiting to be prodded, waiting to be told. I'm not going to wander about in my field. I'm not going to stumble about wondering what the purpose and the will of God is for my life. I'm going to tell you what the will of God is, and that is, go you into all the world. Amen. You're supposed to reach. You're supposed to reach. You're supposed to reach. I don't find much in the Bible where you got to find the will of God. I find a lot in the Bible where you are to do the will of God. Doing the will of God is right. Sitting around wondering what it is wrong. It's so winning. Do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we love the Lord together? Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of being saved, number one, and the privilege of telling somebody else there's hope for their life. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be on a foreign field. It can be right here in Kansas. It can be right here in your hometown. It can be right here on your job site. That's your field. That's your field of labor. Get busy about His business, and God is going to bless you. God's going to honor that seed that you plant. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Is there somebody on your mind right now? Is there somebody that God's placed on your spirit? Oh God, if you'd give me the chance, I'll teach them a Bible study. I wonder if you'd bring that person to prayer at the altar tonight. Say, God, would you help me find a way? Would you give me an open door with so and so? You know their name. You know their address. You know what their problems are. You know their struggles. You know their problems, their needs. I pray, God, you'd help us as the church be there for them. Help us, God, by opening the door. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. You can leave this service tonight not wandering about in your field, but with a purpose, with direction. Hallelujah. I'm going to go. I'm going to call. I'm going to visit. I'm going to go by tomorrow. I'm going to make sure that I invite them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for us just like He'll do it for you. Amen. There's nobody special. Amen. We're all special in His eyes. We're all His kids. He wants to bless us all. God wants to do it for every one of us. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. That's it. Lift your voice. Come on. Ask God. Ask Him in faith. Hallelujah. Ask Him believing. God is going to open a door for you. God is going to give you that opportunity you sought for. God is going to give you the chance to tell Him about Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy about it. You got the truth. The gospel still works.